All good. Just getting set up here, so don't mind me.
No, no worries.
Well, just getting set up, so I'll make sure. Good, your computer's obviously going well because you've got no interference. Been good lately.
Sorry.
You. Issues with your computer. So you've got nice clear sound now.
Oh, right. Okay.
I know you were getting it fixed, but it's you've done the job there. It's good.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, yeah.
Well, it's hard to, as we said, to buy new ones all the time, isn't it? And
well, this is it. I know.
I've been updating my old one. It's a few years old, but I just updated. It seems to be going okay. I'm sick of buying stuff, you know? Make it
work. Oh, well, yeah.
Work for
things are just not built to last at all, are they? I mean, they're built, you know, with like kind of a built-in obsolescence, aren't they? So, you know, they just don't last long at all, anything.
Yeah, like program cell death, huh?
Yeah.
It's like that. You get sick of it, don't you? I'll just
definitely.
Don't mind me. I'm just getting my sound up. Yeah, I know. But good sound anyway. That's
good.
That's good. That is good.
I believe you had a long podcast with Shannon the other day.
We did. We did. Had a great show.
Good. I've not listened to it yet. It's on my list of stuff to listen to, but I've not listened to it yet.
it's a long one.
Yeah.
It's a long one. And considering her situation and how she has to connect and everything, she was perfectly clear, so that was great.
Yeah.
And so that was really nice. We connected nice and easy, and there was a nice clear sound, and we ended up going for hours.
We're talking about her book mainly, the Wi-Fi Refugee.
That's right. Yeah, but but she talked about it. We talked about everything, and talked about the work on the book that you guys did, and how all that came about, and you know, and everything. But just chatted about all sorts of things. She's an amazing woman indeed.
She is. Yeah, she's very knowledgeable. Very, very knowledgeable.
Yeah, she didn't just want to stick around the book. She was wanting to talk about all sorts of things going on. So we went all over the place. It was a really great show. And
she's hard to stop when she starts.
That's right.
Like, you know, wind her up and set her off, and she'll go for hours. She's lovely.
Yeah, lovely woman. Yeah, and I said for her to come back on the way you do, you know, when she wants to have a chat, which is a nice thing. And if she can do it, and she's up for to chat about all sorts of things. So it's
I bet she is. Yeah,
with everything that's going on. But yeah, it was great. I know she because I chatted to Janice Barcelo not long ago, and
they're friends, aren't they?
Shannon, yeah, Janice, she used friend. Her work. Yeah. Because Janice is the same. She's had to move around the US as well.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I think she's in Oregon or somewhere. Oh, no, maybe. Where is she now? Maybe somewhere there. I don't know. She's moved a few times. She's had a hell of a life. Very tough life. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
She's got all the, you know, the all the stuff to protect her around her bedding and everything, you know. And so we were talking with Shannon about that, you know, how her husband wasn't initially like that, but then when he moved away from it and went back, he was, you know, and how we think that we're okay, but we're not really okay, you know, and how
that's
sensitive
right,
they are.
Absolutely.
But it was really interesting to hear someone like that.
Have you read the book? I mean, it's a fantastic book.
Yeah, I'm into it now. She sent me a PDF. Of that, so I've just been reading through it, and I think by the next time I connect with her, we'll have I'll be able to get through that,
right?
And it's good to promote it as well, And she was very excited about continuing her work with you. We're talking on the podcast as well about the books and how well they're doing and everything. So.
Sure.
Lots to discuss.
Yeah, definitely.
But I found that, John. You're probably the same. I mean, I've had some before we start. Anyway, I'm still getting my sound here. But I found that with you know, American women and, you know, women from California and stuff, they're so open-minded. They're just so, I connect with them so quickly. And they're such awake people, you know, these ladies. And they're very popular guests. So I speak to a few ladies like Shannon and doing all sorts of books and work and like yourself as well. And they're just, they're so open-minded and kind of like old souls like Shannon is, you know.
Yeah,
and it is absolutely the amount of information that she was into and prepared to talk about, there was nowhere I could go that she didn't know something about. It was great and have opinions on, so it was really good. It was just easy to talk, and you know, there's no limits to the conversation. So fantastic lady. Yeah. Fantastic lady.
Yeah, definitely.
Just talking about the, as you said, they're doing. It's not easy to live that kind of lifestyle either, you know, with the way that they are. And when they first were moving around, she mentioned all that. And, you know, it's kind of living like in the old days a bit, and you don't have all those creature comforts. But,
yeah, you know, I stayed with them for a few weeks, you know, a couple of years ago. It was a real eye-opener, living like that. We used to just get up when it came light. We never wore a watch. You know, ate when we were hungry, went to bed when it came dark. It was just like living 200 years ago, you know.
That's right. And and all because, you know, you're basically allergic to modern technology. That it's affecting you in such a deep way. And that's what I found interesting about her partner that wasn't initially or didn't know he was. And then after living this life and going back and being exposed again, realizing that this is not a good thing, you know. So we were talking about that kind of situation that we're all in, where we're being bombarded and attacked, and how our bodies are trying to deal with it. And it kind of feels like a normal thing for us, but it's not normal for any of us.
Exactly.
You know?
That's exactly right, Adam.
Until you get away from it. And we were talking about your sleep and your dreams and how things change when you're out in that kind of environment. And it's still wonderful to see, but you know, we're obviously talking about that it's getting harder, you know, because she was talking about going into remote areas and people, you know, like hiking or remote forested areas or camping and things, and people are using their phones, you know, and you're like, how the hell? Like, where's that reception coming from, you know? And also how they are connecting up all these woodland areas and natural reserves or national parks and hooking people up to 5G and, you know, and everything that's happening and Elon Musk and everything. It's getting to the point where there won't be an escape. But at this point, it's there are people like Shannon are okay, you know, they're able to, they have to give up a lot, and there's a lot of sacrifices, you know,
and it's
tough work, but then you have that payoff of being away from it, but it's like a slow creep anyway, but it's it was just I'd like to do more of that, and people aren't aware of the people in modern cities and stuff, and people, they're not aware that people are suffering so much, you know.
Well, until I met Shannon, I had absolutely no idea about all this stuff at all. I mean, I knew it wasn't great for you, but I didn't realize that there were people who suffered so badly from it, you know. And that was a real eye opener, just getting to know her, talking to her about it, and she was just like, whoa, you know. And that's kind of what gave us the idea for the book. But then, of course, we got sidetracked by COVID. She probably told you all this anyway.
It's insane times, John.
It is, mate. It is.
Boy. I am.
Is it cold over there at the moment?
Yeah. It's been for Australia, or for Sydney, you know. It has been pretty cold.
Not any snow or anything.
Yes, a lot this year.
Have you?
Yeah, a lot.
Gosh.
I just spoke with some Germans and a couple of people. They that are living here, they just never realised it would be so cold in Sydney, you know?
Yeah.
I spoke to Kiwis and stuff, and they came here thinking they didn't bring enough clothes, and they were, like, shocked.
it's 27 degrees here at the moment. So.
Yeah, yeah, you guys are, Europe's getting a bit of a warm spell. It's global warming, John.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
That's nice. That's nice.
Yeah. All I can say about global warming is bring it on, please.
Yeah, we're not getting much of that here. They're trying to sell it. They're trying to sell it, but we're not getting it.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
It's not translating.
Yeah. Ooh, global warming, climate change, Every time there's a freak, you know, even a tiny freak bout of weather, oh, it's global warming, it's climate change, you know.
Anyway,
sorry.
No, you're right. But it's raining and cold here, and it's just mud everywhere. It's non-stop raining. More rain now, all week. Weeks and weeks of rain. It's very
sounds
strange.
Like here.
Yeah, it's just rain.
Weather, I think.
Yeah, it's rain. A lot of people are trying to get away and holiday for the moment, but it just keeps coming. And apparently there's a lot more to come. Into 2023, that there's a big trough off there, and it's going to pound us with rain till next year. So, it is crazy. And, you know, it's, you know, I get up in the mornings, it's probably here, it's probably about 5 degrees, you know, 6 degrees or so.
Wow.
In the morning. So, yeah, a lot of snow in the snowfields, and around in the dividing range, you know, going up. So definitely, you know, down quite low. So yeah, definitely freezing. Winds as well, lash here, come up and lash through Tasmania, Victoria, and run right through and just cut you to the bone. That's what kills people. It's not like being in an area where there's a lot of snow and it's cold, but it's still here. The wind lashes you, so it feels worse than it is, and it gets into your fingers. And it lashes Sydney on the coast here as well. It's been a cold, long winter, John.
Oh dear. Well, it's not too long to go. It's coming to an end now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it'll probably be raining. Where are we? Yeah, it's hard to say. Yeah, it's crazy times indeed with the weather.
When does the weather start to get better? Usually, like September, October, kind of time, or
it should do. But as it gets more humid, we could get a lot more rain.
Right.
Has been crazy. So it's still, you know, June, July, August, good 3 months of very cold weather here anyway. The most rain I've ever seen. I've never seen it like this. It just does not stop. Right. And, of course, where people have been flooded out, they're being offered, the government are offering them to buy their places back now.
Right.
Right where the high-speed rail's going.
Yeah.
it's crazy. To be burned the way we were, you know, to be burned like that and now flooded, it's crooked times. Indeed, but you know what? I don't mind, because of those fires and that kind of weather we had. It's been very cold here. I don't mind the cold. You know, I don't mind it. I know you probably like to live in more tropical, maybe more warmer areas, but
yeah, I mean, the weather hasn't been too bad this last couple of years. I mean,
you guys are pretty warm.
Yeah, we didn't have much of a winter either last winter. I mean, it got cold, but we never had any snow or you know, really, really below zero stuff. You know, I think it maybe hit zero probably a couple of times throughout the winter, which is, you know, amazing for here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're on the coast too. But yeah, I speak to a couple of UK guests, and they said the weather's been amazing, like quite hot actually, over there, and they're amazed. And they're telling you you're going to have heart attacks. I hope you're not going to have a heart attack, John, because it's too warm.
I hope not either, but anyway, I don't think I will somehow.
We'll discuss that. Let's rock and roll, huh?
Yeah, let's go for it, mate. Yeah.
We usually do the hour, don't we?
Yeah.
All right, let me... I've got that. All right, I'll bring it in, John. All right, we are plugged in on Wednesday night, the 10th of August, 2022, for the Crass Files podcast with Adam and author researcher John Hamer. He's plugging in with me tonight for our usual chats. John usually plugs in with me each month from the UK to go over all the latest, and we center around John's incredible books and many, many years of research and investigation into the Matrix-type system around us. And it's been a wonderful trip, John. Really has, all the years of podcasting with you and going over all your amazing books. John's latest book is Welcome to the Masquerade, Prelude to the Great Reset. And we always cover that. It's up on the website, and it's going fantastic. And of course, it was the book was co-authored and by Shannon Rowan, who I had on recently. Shannon, we were just talking about that before we started, John. Shannon was an amazing a guest, an incredible lady, and we spoke for hours on the podcast. We talked about Welcome to the Masquerade and her role in that, and her new book, and all of her, you know, her situation and what's going on over there. And it was an amazing show. And there's more to come. She's and she mentioned how she's so looking forward to working with you in the future to do more of your great books. So, but John's been pumping out the books over the years, and we've not stopped chatting about them here. And so, you know, John's always a great guest to come on here with me and chat about all the latest. We you know, all the latest news and everything we're seeing here on the ground. John's also a great guest because he's in the UK, and there's a lot of questions I have tonight and discussions about what's happening in the UK. There's a few interesting things there. And I'm here on the ground in Sydney, and it's good to get that mix of opinions and ideas and everything like that. And John's always happy to go wherever we need to. And but, you know, it is interesting over the years to look at John's fantastic books, especially the new one, Welcome to the Masquerade. And we'll of course promote that on the show and how folks can get it. And how this all ties in with what we always talk about. You know, it really does. We're kind of tracking in real time what we're seeing and what's going on, so we can be, you know, very well prepared and stay a few steps ahead of this beast system as it unleashes or spits out its venom and spider web type system to get everybody caught in. And we become more aware of the system, and we work together to break it down, and we join communities and everything like that, and we share our work and podcasts and get great books like John's books out there, and we keep the conversation rolling. So it's always good to have John Hamer on the podcast here with me in Real Independent Media here in Sydney, Australia. Everything's up on crassfiles.com. Enjoy, contact me anytime. All the links are up, all our social media channels are up there now and connected. So really great times. Thanks to the members. You can support me on the website for a cup of coffee a month. There's a great members area and heaps of tons of podcasts to go through and things to do over there. And it helps me to keep the website up and secured and moving forward here and doing more. So keep us going and keep the conversation rolling. It's just such important times that we keep moving here, and we don't pull back or get scared in any way or worried. We need to voice our concerns and opinions and move forward in a positive way and keep moving and make it a big avalanche. Because John is one of the guests who agrees with me on this, that this system is starting to crumble and it's becoming desperate and lashing out. And I don't think it's all going to plan, John. And I know you don't think that as well. And there's a few points tonight to get your opinion on. As we enter the podcast tonight, John, how are you going? How are you going over there where you are, and how's the book going, and how is all in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, it's all good in here, Adam. Thanks very much, and great to have me back on again. Thank you, really appreciate it. Always enjoy our chats. Yeah, the book's going great. It got off to a slowish start, as they tend to do. But you know, as the word's, you know, been spread, I've done quite a lot of podcasts along, you know, sometimes on my own, sometimes with Shannon on it, and it really, you know, it's really boosted the sales. So we're very pleased at the moment with how it's going. You know, it's really starting to fly now.
Mm. Yeah, as you said, it was going really well, and we've been promoting it since it came out, and I really
appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah, and your other books as well, and it all helps, you know, it all helps. And I go back to our original conversations. We talked about the Titanic, and we talked about JFK and your other books, and of course your incredible books, The Falsification of Science, Our Distorted Reality. That was just such great podcasts, because it's just such a relevant book in our times, with everything that's happening with the COVID and the propaganda and the lies and everything, and this whole science agenda. It needs to be taken down, and we've been doing that on many shows and talking about virology and all of this, and it's really just big words for a con, really, you know. it really is, isn't it? And Dawn Lester, and we've been talking to her, and it's just they're bamboozling people, and really it's all just a casino card trick. You're being scammed, and that's what we've been talking about. So interesting books. And they're growing and growing. And of course, as you mentioned on all our podcasts, there's more to come, and you're working on more books and more ideas. So there's a lot more to come as we move forward here. And the great thing is, and we'll talk about the media a little bit tonight as well, because with our real alternative media networks, it's so great to talk to authors and researchers like yourself, and get these books out into networks and people wanting them, and to share the knowledge around. It's really good, isn't it? I feel like, even though we're living in crazy times with everything that is happening, and what we're seeing now, it's the most positive times that I can recall. I remember when I first started podcasting, it was quite gloomy and grim, really. I didn't know what was going on, and it was a lot of trolls around, and it didn't seem like a lot of people were interested in it. And it's just this fire now that is out of control. Yeah. And
people are waking up, Adam.
That's right, John. Yeah, that's where I was going.
And this is what's fueling it all, you know.
Fueling it, yes. Yeah. And of course, we heard through the WHO and all these players and actors over there, in the United Nations and stuff, they're getting desperate, and they're wanting, if you saw that, they're getting together and they're wanting to stamp this out. You know, they don't want people questioning their fake, virus narratives and monkeypox nonsense. Yeah. And they're targeting people in Australia. It's unbelievable. They're actually having meetings, and the media are basically saying, if you're on Telegram and you have a group and you're having discussions like, you know, we are now, John, you're basically a terrorist. You're a Nazi. You're a white supremist. You're into Hitler, and you've got Nazi symbols on your head and all of this. Yeah, exactly. Desperate. And I always tell people, you know, when you see that kind of behavior, they're just so vindictive and nasty and jealous, and they lash out like that. And we're just continuing, and it's great. And when authors like yourself put out, and Shannon and these kinds of great people, that you put out all these books, and it shares throughout our communities, and it just gets out there in the world. It's such an incredible process, isn't it? How we can continue to share knowledge and keep the conversation rolling despite these wicked liars in the mainstream media, circles, and we can just continue forward. And it's a great feeling and a really important role.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's going back to what you were saying about, you know, the way things are changing and the way things are, you know, moving forward. I mean, they're getting desperate, as I say, and what it is, they're stepping up the agenda, but it's just becoming ridiculous now. It's becoming so bloody transparent, because they're panicking, I believe, that, you know, they're making stupid mistakes. You know, they're doing crazy things. I mean, I tell you what springs to mind on this. Just this week, gone. Alex Jones in the States, you know, the loudmouth guy, who I believe is controlled opposition anyway, and I think most people in the Truth Movement do. I can't believe there's that many people that follow him anymore. But yeah, I mean, he's been allegedly been fined $45 million for claiming that Sandy Hook was a false flag. But I mean, it's just theatre. It's just theatre. There's no way that guy has been fined $45 million in my book. I mean, I think that is just it's like them against desperation showing through. They're trying to make people believe that Sandy Hook wasn't a false flag, wasn't a psyop. And, you know, and at the same time making a statement that, look, this is what will happen to you if you go against the agenda. You know, it's all theatre and it's all sheer desperation, mate.
Very good call, John, and you've read my mind from all the way over in the UK. You've got into my head and you've repeated what I was going to say. There you go. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Well. it's very obvious, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, you know, a network like Jones, Alex Jones, InfoWars, I mean, the amount of money that gets poured into it and the way that it is, you know, from day one, really. Or whether, you know, I think he was always an operative.
Definitely.
And we've covered this over the years, you know, how they actually feed the Truth Movement, you know, really good information. To get you kind of hooked in, but then they steer you away. But as more people wake up to it, they have to give you more and more truth, but they still try to find those cunning and manipulative ways to sort of keep steering you away away there. And that's an interesting one, because Sandy Hook is obviously a psyop, like all of them are. But I absolutely agree, because there's two sides to the coin here, all very shiny sides to the one coin, really, because as you said there, it shows the public this is what's going to happen to you if you question our agenda.
Yeah.
This is how much you can be taken down and fined. And then, but it also reinforces the belief that the alternative, people in the alternative media have in someone like Alex Jones. You know, so it will probably make people want to support and follow him more. Wouldn't you agree, John, in that way? Because look how hard he's been done by, you know, so they will believe in that kind of network a lot more.
That could be true, actually. Yeah, I've not thought about that, but But it's you know, I'm fond of saying this, and that is that propaganda, which is what, obviously, you know, we're subjected to in the mainstream, you know, 24/7. It's just absolute a torrent of propaganda nonstop. I have one concession to the mainstream media, and that's MSN News, which I look at every day, not because I enjoy reading it, but because I just want to see what the enemy's up to, basically. So that's what I do, I look at MSN News. And every single article on there is just absolutely chock full of propaganda of various different kinds, you know, whether it be of climate change, you know, you name it, still harping on about COVID and how dangerous it still is, you know, everything is just agenda driven. But anyway, I've got off the point now. What I was going to say was, you know, there's a little saying that I'm really fond of with regards to propaganda, and that is that propaganda's like rat poison. 98%, 99% of it is good and wholesome stuff. It's the other 1 or 2% that kills you. And this is what they do. They mix, as you said earlier, they mix, you know, real facts in with propaganda, and that dilutes it and it actually distracts you from the truth. It makes you believe, because the big bulk of it is true, it makes you believe that the other bit that they want you to swallow is true as well. So it's a very clever tactic. You've got to hold your hands up. You know, they're not stupid people. They understand the human psyche very, very well indeed. And in fact, they spend millions every year on, you know, promoting that aspect and pushing various shall we say, untruths down our throats. Yeah, I mean, they know exactly which levers to pull, which buttons to press, and the human psyche, and, you know, they do it all the time, but it is becoming more and more obvious now as time has gone on exactly what they're up to. And that coupled with the fact that people are waking up faster than ever before, you know, it's amazing. When I go out and about in the town here, you know, I hear people speaking as I'm walking past them in the street, and you just catch snippets of conversations. You know, they may not be absolutely switched on and know exactly what the agenda is and what's really going on, but people are definitely starting to question stuff now, without a doubt. You know, people are thinking the world just suddenly seems a very, very different and strange place, and people can't understand why, and they are definitely questioning things a lot more now. Do you not think, Adam?
Yeah, it is happening. Yeah, I do see it. I think it's just people can understand or feel that something's wrong, you know, and they yeah. feel it, and it's there, but they don't know how to explain it. But they know that there's something wrong about everything that's going on right now in the last couple of years, in particular. Now they probably have filtered for a long time, but in the, you know, as you said, now it's speeding up, and the propaganda is becoming so outrageous.
That's right.
And we chatted about this on many podcasts about how, you know, all these people who were you know, most who were coerced and bullied and intimidated into getting these COVID mRNA tech injections, you know, were double crossed basically, and now what's happening is, you know, at first it was okay to play along and I felt like I was getting them to do the right thing, and now they've been cast out in a no man's land and they just don't know what to think anymore, and they're starting to see the propaganda, that the system doesn't really care about them, actually doesn't give a shit about them, to be honest.
Exactly.
And now they're starting to feel the cold wind of reality rush over their flesh and bones, and hopefully that's enough to really punch them and give them a good wake-up call to what's really going on here. And, you know, as this happens and this ignition, you know, starts to take off, this fire, you know, it's and more people start to get on board here. And as you said, those conversations in the streets, like yourself being a fly on the wall and kind of not eavesdropping, but just walking past, I've done that, although some conversations I'm like, oh, I'm shaking my head. But, you know, it's happening, and I think they're starting to see through this system and what the media are telling them, and they're starting to see the con. I mean, it is insane, John, really, to be honest. What we've seen,
absolutely.
I mean, this year is really, you know, it's really been incredible, but the last few months is just, I mean, monkeypox and the gay guys have just, this is what, I mean, it is absolutely outright. They're telling people now in the mainstream media that you can have a heart attack if you have a cold shower or you do the gardening, or if you take naps, and it's just
It's to cover up the fact that so many people are having heart failure, cardiac arrests, developing myocarditis and dying of bloody heart attacks, isn't
it?
That's
right.
That's why, that's what they're doing. They're kind of creating a backstory to cover for all these fake deaths, not fake deaths, real deaths, but, you know, what they refer to as being the reason is obviously incorrect.
It's almost like mockery, John, though. Like it's almost like the media are mocking people now, but then you think, well, is it just outright mockery, or is it there? I mean, if I were to look at it and think, okay, the media are just desperately trying to cover up for all the especially in Australia. And I mentioned this so long ago, so many times with New Zealand and Australia, because they push such a high jab rate, but you've got a lower population and you're going to see the damage quicker. And that's what we're seeing now in Australia, particularly among 20-year-olds.
Really?
There's a massive problem here. And now I don't know if you've seen the videos, John, there's doctors coming out at Australian Medical Board Association meetings with hundreds of doctors in the room screaming and filming. They're coming out and blowing the whistle because they're being gagged and they're not doing it anymore. And I knew this was going to happen. I knew that because in Australia, they're gagged. And if they say anything about patient injuries directly, from the inoculations, they're threatened with losing their license and everything, so they're going along to get along, and it's going to eat away at their conscience, and eventually they're going to blow, and that's what we're starting to see, and it's happening now, and they're blowing, and this is not what they became a doctor for, and not what they signed up for. Not all of them are going to do this, but you're starting to see it. And I'm thinking the media are
realizing that there's strength in numbers as well, and they can't sack them all, you know. So
they can't.
You know, yeah.
But I just kind of think the nonsense coming out of the media and the UK as well. There's I think some of the worst is coming out about having a shower. You know, the last one was taking a nap. If you're a nap taker and you like to have a nap in the day, you're more prone to getting heart problems and attacks. And you're like, this is absolutely outrageous. What we're seeing, but why would they even think that people would believe any of this? Aren't they cutting their own throat in this way? So it's a fine line, isn't it, John? You know,
definitely,
like
definitely.
Because they would know if they're going to come up with this nonsense, people are going to be just not only just laughing at them like we are and shaking our head, but all the people that got their jabs are going to be so pissed off reading this. Absolutely, it's really rubbing their faces in dog poo, to be honest, when they're coming up with this nonsense. And as I said, in Australia, you know, it is very, very in your face now. The injuries and the deaths and the damage we are seeing, you can't hide it anymore.
It's like we said at the beginning, it's desperation, Adam. I mean, it's like they're just stepping up the agenda to laughable levels now, whereby, you know, lots more people are actually seeing through it, or at least starting to question it. And, you know, they're kind of cutting their own throat in a way, I think, you know. And it's definitely a sign that things are swinging our way, without a doubt, you know, in my view.
It's I was thinking of this. Well, I always talk about it a lot as well, but I'm wondering. It's interesting to get your opinion on this because being in the UK, but it's hard in Australia because I get that feeling, like you said as well, where you're hearing, you're not just hearing, but you're sensing and you're feeling this. More and more people around you every day that you go out and you're out and about that are starting to ask questions, and that's a good thing. That's what we want. We want people. So even if it's basic stuff that we've known for years, if you hear that, it's a great thing. You know, it's a really good thing to hear people saying, you know, what is this, and that's how you get yourself out of a hole, because you start thinking, what are they telling me? What's going on here? And that's what they don't want, the government and the media that are trying to suppress. They don't want you doing that. In Australia, the media system, the media system as a whole, and I'm like you, I'm interested to get your opinion on this, because I know you look at the daily news and everything just to get a grasp of what you're seeing.
Yeah.
And the daily news in Australia and the newspapers, which are very popular now online. So you go to the websites and you subscribe and you get the digital copies of the newspaper. We know that Rupert Murdoch has a stranglehold, like 70% of all of this, the Daily Telegraph and all these papers. It's Rupert Murdoch papers. And I was looking at this I was looking at this whole system, the newspaper system. And the media online, the news on television sets, and the radio radio waves, radio news and shows and everything, morning breakfast TV news, everything from early morning, mid morning, lunch, you know, basically prime time 6 o'clock news till late news and through, and it's all exactly identical. On every single channel, and I've covered this.
Oh, yeah.
They talk the same, they act the same, they have the same tones, they have the same hand and head movements, the newspapers are all the same. It's basically like different colored toilet paper that they're delivering. So you get this toilet paper and it's this color, and that one's a little bit this shade and that, but it's all you're going to wipe your bum at the end of the day. So it's the same outcome. And I feel like that's what the mainstream news are doing. So I watch Channel 7 and 9 and 10 and these things, and it's different people people delivering, but really the whole system is the same, and it's been that way right throughout our lives, whether you go back to the 1990s or 80s, 70s or 60s. It's more technological now and advanced, but it's the same exact system of delivery. And and I look at things in Australia and it worries me, because they have it's one or group think, an Orwellian type group think type of system going on here. And it's, and I was watching it the other day on, and I was looking at the mainstream media and I was looking at their websites and I was looking at other ones, and although delivered slightly differently, it was all the same news, John. In the packaged in the same exact way, and it was all written in the same exact way, but they've got different reporters and columnists regurgitating the same exact news. And I really don't know if one, except for maybe the Spectator Australia and a couple of others, that are doing anything different, because if they do anything different, they won't have a job on Monday morning. We know this. And I look at Australia now, and we're in dire straits here. If it wasn't for us here in the alternative media, and some alternative media is doing very well, and it's great to see, and we can get our information out. But I look at Australia as a whole, with a small population and this kind of control going on, and they're all liars. They're all liars, and they're all the same. Yeah. And I'm seeing nothing different. And so Joe Blow on the bus going to work, he's reading the Sydney Morning Herald. And Joe Blow too, on the other side of the bus, he's reading the Daily Telegraph. And, you know, this guy thinks that he's getting news delivered differently, and that news is better and more pure than the other Joe Blow's getting. And because he's got this newspaper, and he's going to think about the same about the other guy. But when you put the two newspapers together, it's the same shit, you know?
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable. And so alternative media doing very well in Australia, and we've got to do it tougher here. And we put ourselves in danger more, if you will, and we're exposed more, but we continue forward. So in that way, we get really good stuff going. If I were to look at the UK, John, and what I've just said, and you getting up and having a look through the daily news and just getting your snippets and everything, I'm looking at a great publication called Light, for example.
The Light.
Yeah, it's a fantastic publication online. It's wonderful. It's really clear. You can go through and have a look. Yeah. I know Dawn.
I've read a few articles for it, actually.
I was speaking to Dawn Lester about that. Her and David did a great article about the virus theory, that there's no virus, and I thought that was wonderful. And what are you seeing in the UK with this? Because are you seeing more and more of these kind of great publications coming out? Or are you kind of still suffering through that system that we are here in Australia? What are you seeing right now in this?
Well, what you just described is obviously rife. I mean, that is still rampant. The most prevalent situation as regards the media. But yeah, we've got, there are one or two publications. There's the Light newspaper. You know, a lot of other decent websites, but, obviously it's still all in the minority. The alternative media has got a long way to go to catch up with the mainstream bastards, basically. But I just thought it might be interesting, Adam. I've got my MSN page open here, which is my news feed that I look at, a couple of times a day, and just check through and just see what's going on. Why don't I just talk you through a few of the headlines, not the actual articles themselves.
That's right.
Just to try and illustrate what I mean. Okay. So it's just every day it's full of various different bits of propaganda about different elements of the agenda, mixed in with the usual kind of soap nonsense and, the usual kind of crap that, the media has in it, So first one I'm looking at here, it says, This is one of the headlines. The Earth is suddenly spinning faster than usual, but why? So that's obviously globist propaganda there. I'm not even going to bother reading the bloody article, but that's just like to give you an idea. So that, that's one bit of propaganda. Then the next headline I see is, COVID puts UK in grip of psychological crisis as half of adults in distress despite end of restrictions. Again, I won't even bother reading it because it will just be full of utter nonsense and propaganda. It's accompanied by a picture of a woman staring with a very sad look in her eyes because she can't see her actual nose and mouth because she's covered in a mask looking out of the window of her home. So that's an interesting one. Okay. You know, then we'll skip through a few there. Flushing the loo to gardening, how to save water around the house, because of course we're in the midst of an absolute drought, you know, water's becoming very scarce now, you know. Ooh, be afraid, be very afraid, you know, more climate change propaganda, you know. Again, I'm not going to read the article, but I just look at the headlines. The household appliances that are secretly raising your energy bills, yeah. So, again, it's just an excuse. This is why, I don't know if it's the same in Australia, but energy bills are just going through the roof in the UK. They're going to double, apparently, in the next few weeks, again. So, again, they're just pushing, you know, the fact that it's not, oh, it's not really the companies to blame. It's everybody using these particular appliances, and these are secretly raising your energy bills. So, more abject propaganda there. Another one we've got here. I go outside, I feel miserable, and come home burnt to a crisp. The people who hate summer. I mean, what can you say about that? It's just laughable, really. Oh, and here's another climate change one. Rivers face horror story as the country heads for drought, say campaigners. You know, I aborted my much-loved baby because he would not have survived birth. Many mothers no longer have this choice. So, again, that's a bit of, you know, abortion propaganda. You know, it just goes on and on. I won't bore you with any more of it, but it's just on and on. You know, that's just a little sampling of it. But it just that's the mainstream media in the UK for you, and I guess it's pretty much the same the rest of the world as well. You know, it's so dumbed down. It's so... you know, it's just pathetic, really, some of the stuff. I mean, you know, you don't even need to be a truther to see through a lot of that absolute shit, basically. Yeah, so...
It's clickbait.
Yeah,
John, it's header clickbait, yeah. We get that, of course, in Australia, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, I don't know, it's a funny one, isn't it? It's like the stuff coming out of the UK is more, I don't know, it's comical. It's really, you just look at it, it's so overwhelming. It's so
transparent.
It's just crazy. But, yeah. You know, I do see, as I was saying before, yeah, you do get that. I was like the mainstream media nightly news. You go on their websites and it's, as I said, it's all the same, but as you scroll down, it's all just advertising, you know, losing weight and all this kind of stuff and all this click stuff, yeah. You know, it's unbelievable. And we always make fun of the media here. And I think that I've never seen so much clickbait. So basically in the headers, and I've been covering that as well, like, they say something in the header and then it gets people to click on it. And then when you actually click on the header and you go into the article, the header in the article's changed. And it's not what it said in the original that you clicked. Yeah. And you read the article like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like they'll say something about a sports star and like something dramatic happened to them and nothing happened to them. Like, you're just like, what's exactly. This? Yeah, so it's basically clickbait. We all know that. You're wondering how they're getting away with it, John. I mean, the thing I've been saying on podcasts is I don't think they care. I think that so much money is being thrown at these networks that it's very obvious to me that the more people wake up to it and the more stupid that they become and the more that we don't buy it and we plug out, the more money they're going to put into their networks to make it look better and bigger, because that's what the system has to do, doesn't it? It has to beef itself up and give the public the appearance that it's bigger than it is and that it's more powerful than it is. And we're talking about the Wizard of Oz, you know, this great wizard they were scared of the whole movie, and we're covering this on a few shows, and it was nothing. And it was actually Toto the dog that barked, you know, and how you've got to have that bark. But, and expose these people, but that's what happens in Australia, you know. I'm thinking years ago, this program is going to go down. Like, these hosts are dreadful people. No one's watching. They're lying about everything. And, but, you know, they just bring in new hosts and they do up their sets and they make everything more fancier and more money gets put, pumped into the networks, you know? And then it just gets worse and worse and they just keep pumping them up. And I guess it's just the big net TV networks, you know? There's unlimited funds for them, John, as more and more people tune out and they become more and more desperate to grab our attention and the lies just become more ridiculous that is just childish, isn't it, what you're reading out?
Yeah, who would that, want that word again, Adam, desperation, and that's what we're seeing, absolute total desperation. They're just really stepping up the agenda on all fronts. You know, every single piece of the agenda that they push, the road that they're pushing us down is being stepped up all the time. And they're constantly battering us with it. All this propaganda about, you know, different aspects of the agenda. You know, I feel like I'm repeating myself a little bit here, but, you know, it's so true. You know, that this is what they're having to do now because they're losing control. I'm absolutely convinced of it. Absolutely convinced that, you know, they're beginning to sense that things are not going their way, and they're trying to make sure that they continue to push the propaganda as hard as they can. But in doing so, it's actually having the opposite effect, and it's waking more people up. So they're kind of caught in a catch-22 situation, I believe, and that will be their downfall eventually. I'm not saying it'll be tomorrow or, you know, next year, but eventually. You know, I think, I think they will overstep the mark. I mean, they've overstepped the mark with COVID, I think. I mean, I think they had a hasty withdrawal from that as well. And I don't think, that was meant to go on a lot longer than it actually did. But I think they felt they had no option after a couple of years of insanity to actually cut back. Because when you looked at the Rockefeller lockstep document, that was meant to go on for 5 years, but it only lasted two. And I think they just cut the losses and ran because they realized that, you know, they were losing the plot, or the people, you know, were beginning to wake up to the plot, should I say. So, you know, it's positive in a way. There's still a hell of a long way to go. It's a long, rocky road. But, you know, I think we're slowly gaining the initiative here, mate.
It's like that, isn't it? It's like ever since you were a kid, you know, that TV has been pumping out or displaying the very same system that is still here today. It's always been there. But it's like we didn't sort of notice so much. And so, you know, everyone's just been living their lives with this system on, turned on and around us. But we're living in a time now where there has never been such a targeted kind of look from masses of people around the world at this very system. It's like we've just been fed on for so long, John. It's like we've had something on our backs for so long and we've just gone along and we haven't done anything about it. And now we're starting to direct our attention towards this very system. It's lashing out and it's becoming so crazy, like a crazy carnival, like a freak show. And it's like it's spilling the beans in a way, John. That's how I see it. It's like it's coughing up the goodies to us in order to try and maintain control and order of our and control our minds. Yeah. And we become more suspicious and it just coughs up more. And, it's starting to appear very ridiculous to a lot of us. And that's why I think the headlines and everything are becoming, and what we're seeing around us is becoming, more and more zany. Every day that we look at it, and I'm seeing it as well. Life around me and everywhere that I look is becoming very zany, like a cartoon. Yeah. And I think that's because we're witnessing the system breaking down. Around us. It's really interesting.
It is. It's very interesting times, isn't it, at the moment? And I think, I've been on this earth for a lot of years now, and, you know, it's certainly the most interesting times I can remember, that's for sure. There's never a dull moment. There's always something going on.
Well, it's obvious that as the system around us, this matrix system, starts to be decoded and broken down, things are going to get insane. But, you know, I mean, we're dealing with sociopathic liars and con men and dangerous people in a way that will lash out. But, you know, I think if we hold the line, and I think what I'm seeing, you know, in Europe and all around with the farmers and everything, we'll talk about this. We'll actually swing into this a little bit. We are seeing this, in Australia, which is actually absolutely ridiculous because last year during the COVID lockdowns, people were worried about food, John. Like, it basically got so bad in Australia and around Sydney that they were telling you that you could not even hardly go out to get groceries and that the police would be checking your groceries if you went to the stores to make sure that you've actually got bread and water and things like that and you're not buying sneakers and things. This was in Australia. It's unbelievable. So it didn't happen. It was just more threats. Like Operation COVID Shield that I told you about, John, with the military, were brought in by Scott Morrison, the former Prime Minister, brought in the military to bring in this Operation COVID Shield to get jabs in arms. That's now gone. It's dismantled. And the wellness camp that the Queensland Premier built to house COVID people that everyone that went all around the world in alternative media, they're going to put unvaccinated people in these camps, it's gone. It's a multi-million dollar a place has been abandoned. Yeah. So that's gone. So the whole thing is gone now, John. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. There are actually two schools of thoughts on it, though. It makes you wonder if it was ever the real intent in the first place and whether they actually backtracked on it because of pressure or whatever, you know, public antipathy towards it, or whether they were just saying that as just part of like some kind of fear-mongering
to scare
campaign.
Yeah,
and they never had any intention of doing it, but it was just like, you know.
Oh, so you're saying, like, do you think there's too much heat? You're sort of saying, do you think there's too much heat on them now, and what they've done, they've backed off, or there's that whole thing where they used it just to scare people to get jabs?
Exactly, yeah. So it could be a bit of both. It could be one or the other. I don't know, but it's interesting, and you know, whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, what I was talking about before, they were telling people during the lockdowns that don't worry about the food because Australia produces 3 or 4 times more food than we need, so you never have to worry about that. Suddenly, this year they're saying we've got a shortage of eggs. And as you know, they're scaring us about the shortage of food, but now we're hearing the food, we're hearing about the fruit and vegetables and everything. It's all going to come back now, back to normal. So really interesting times. But I've received letters, John, from the power company that we're with here, and they're basically saying that they're going to hike up the prices. And, you know, for no particular reason, just, there's a war in Ukraine, so we're going to hike up the prices. It's absolutely crazy. And I think it's definitely going to happen. And it's going to, it's going to really put a lot of weight on people's shoulders who already have enough to pay, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes. I wanted your opinion on an article that came out from the UK. This one was from the Activist Post, and there's been a few that I read through. It just talks about the revolution beginning. It says 75,000 Brits to stop paying power bills because of inflation storm. And they're saying the resistance is growing and that there's this whole movement to stop paying your bills then if they're going to hike up the prices. What's your thoughts on this movement? I think this is fantastic.
I think it's great, yeah. How successful it will be is another question, really, and I don't know where that will actually end up going. But, again, harping back to what we're saying about the media are really, you know, really going to town on this now. You know, don't stop paying your bills. It's a terrible thing to do, you know, various reasons. You know, it's immoral, it's wrong, you know, and also, you know, it could end up being worse, you know, the bills could go up even further if you don't pay your bills on time, and all this propaganda again that we're getting from the media. So yeah, it's an interesting one, but it is a massive movement. Yeah, there's apparently about 1 million people signed up to this. This petition so far, and and are saying that they're not going to pay their energy bills anymore because they've just skyrocketed, just gone through through the roof, and they're set to go even higher again this winter. This coming winter, which it's going to push a lot of people over the edge. You know, people are going to be dying of cold, for one thing, you know, older people. And also, you know, people are going to be, you know, dying of despair as well. A lot of, you know, which is, of course, what happened during the COVID bollocks as well. So, yeah, it's a very interesting situation. You see, I don't even know, I can't get to the truth of why these bills are actually going up, other than sheer profiteering. That's the only thing I can think of. You know, being dressed up as some other, you know, limp excuse, you know, for the bills going through the roof. I just think it's, again, it's desperation. It's like the last hurrah. It's sheer profiteering by these energy companies, as far as I can see. You know, I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but it just seems to me that there is absolutely no real valid reason for these bills to go higher, except to cause disruption and to actually, you know, further the depopulation agenda, which is what they're doing on quite a lot of different fronts, you know.
Yeah, yeah. As I said, I've been with the same power company for years. Mm. And I've never seen this before. Suddenly they just send you a letter, we're putting up your prices. Mm. And we're told that there's this crisis going on. You're like, and that's what I said. In a country like Australia, with such a massive amount of land and not a big population, they can't sell me that we're running out of food. That's ridiculous. I mean, we've got food coming out of our ears here. And so it's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit, and they've tried to do it. I don't think anyone's buying it. And one thing I know for sure is that, you know, no one's buying their booster shots or any more jabs. And I don't know what's going to happen to people who have had the initial ones, but no one wants these. They've fallen on deaf ears, John, so they're not selling them here. Mm-hmm. They're pretty much done, you know, from what I've been reading, and that's in the mainstream media as well, and everywhere I've looked, people don't are not interested in that anymore. They've had enough. And and telling us that we have, you know, not enough food to go around is absolutely outrageous. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen in this country. We know that that's not the truth. And I think that idea of a kind of what's happening in the UK where people band together, okay, if these power companies are going to hike up the prices, then that kind of idea of having a people strike, I really like that. I know it's happened in the UK before under Thatcher. So that's a really, really good model, because if you do it individually, John, and just a few of us do it, then the power companies are going to threaten you. But if a million people do it and they don't pay their bills and they start protesting about it and they just withhold the payments, the power companies will change overnight, I'm telling you. And you'll see the scam for what it is. And so I think that's a really old school kind of great method to do. I love seeing that. I love what's happening in the UK. I think you guys are doing amazing work. I have to support it 100%.
Yeah, well, you're right about under Thatcher as well in the 80s. That was, I think what you're referring to there is the poll tax rebellion.
That's right.
They introduced a new tax, household tax, and people just refused to pay it, and eventually they had to scrap it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
it's so interesting, John.
They can't jail everybody. They can't put everyone in prison or fine everybody, can they? It's just not practical. So, it is a very effective way of, you know, power to the peopling.
That's right. I mean, we're all paying the bills, you know. You know, and I think it's a fantastic way forward.
Yeah,
but you know, it's one of those things. People just they become too lax with this, and you know, they let things go. It'll be all right, you know. And I think we've got to start getting that fight back in our gut back, you know, that instinct back, and we've got to start banding together, because we're the ones who are that's why I always say, John, you know, like, you know, consumers, which are all of us, whether we're paying for electricity bills or buying things in the supermarket or whatever we're doing, or petrol at the bows or at the pumps or whatever, they rely on us to live. Without us, they don't have a business anymore, and that's a fact. And people, as a consumer, you don't realize how much power you have, not just individually, but together we can bring them down and we can force them to their knees in a matter of moments if enough of us do it. And they live on money, and they need us to consume their products in order to survive. And if we're not getting a good deal out of this and we all band together, but they're hoping that enough of us will just be too tired and not interested enough to say, I'll just let it slide. But if you think like that, you're in for a whole world of hurt and pain, I'm telling you. But if we get together on this and we do like they're doing in the UK, as you said, John, there's nothing, what can they do at the end of the day but just buckle and bring the powers back to where, bring the prices back to where they were. Because they're in big trouble if they don't.
Yeah, I mean, on the whole, I think, you know, people as a whole don't realize how much power they've got. And so, you know, we kind of live under this assumption that they hold all the cards, these people, and we're just really powerless and we can't do anything about it. And of course, this kind of train of thought is encouraged by the governments of this world and the people who sit above governments. And this is what they do. This is how, you know, one of the ways which they control us, and it's very effective, and they take away our power. They deny us, you know, the idea that we have any power individually or collectively. You know, it's the same with all the different, you know, scams that are getting off the topic a little bit now. But, you know, I cover this in my book, The Falsification of Science, you know, the different scientific scams, the different scientific, you know, generally accepted scientific facts, in inverted commas, that keep us in this little box of reality that we believe to be the case, whereas, you know, we're very powerful spiritual beings, you know, and I refer to such things as such scams as, you know, the Big Bang theory, the theory of evolution, you know, the clues in the wording there, theory, okay, they're not these, but they taught us absolute fact, and also the globe Earth, and I think those three things are responsible for taking away our power. And they do this very effectively because it creates the idea that we're just, you know, tiny little random cosmic accidents, little specks of nothingness in a vast universe, which, you know, and it couldn't actually be further from the truth. We're very powerful spiritual beings, and they know this, and that's why they try and shut down that power in every way they can by coming up with crap and scams like the three or four mentioned things I've just talked about. I know the flat earth is a very controversial subject, and we're getting off the point a little bit, I do realize, but, you know, nevertheless, I wouldn't say that I'm 100% on the flat earth, but I'm certainly a globe earth questioner, because it just fits. You know, I often use the analogy, Adam, as you probably know, I've said it on your show several times, I guess, and that is that the whole of reality is like a 10 billion piece jigsaw puzzle. The more of the pieces that you put into place, the clearer the picture becomes, and that enables you to put more and more pieces in place, and so it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And as I say, those three elements of fake science, again, that I just mentioned, are the cornerstone of everything to do with keeping us, you know, powerless. You know, I'm sorry, that's a bit of a rant, and I've gone off the topic a little, but it's kind of related, and I believe it's an important point to make.
No, it is, John. Continue there, because what's your thoughts? I sort of think, because we do discuss this on the podcast a lot, so our listeners are very aware of this, and something like flat earth, it brings up a lot of passion, and there's a lot of people out there who are like, I don't know, acting like trolls and tricksters as well with this, as you know, included. So it's a real yeah. strange scene, but it is an interesting subject that brings up a lot of passion. And we definitely know that we're not where we're told we are, you know,
yeah.
since we were young. You know, they've been telling us there's the moon and there's, you know, there's space yeah. and there's Mars and everything like that, and NASA and the space station. This is bullshit, and the moon landing and everything. I look at it now and I look up at the night sky. I don't know where I honestly am, but I know that what I've been told is a scam. And, but you know, if you look at something like flat Earth, and you look at, say, you know, the theory that this is some kind of simulation, that's interesting too. Some kind Definitely. Of artificial yeah. construct.
The Matrix, in effect.
Yeah, even, you know, the night sky that we look up could be some kind of giant mirror or some kind of giant LED screen. We don't know.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's sending information back to us that we think we're seeing something, but we're not really seeing it at all. It could be all about trickery. I don't know. I mean, I've said on many podcasts, when you go out into the natural world and camping and you're out there having a fire at night, you look up at all the billions of stars. I get an organic feeling from nature around me, and that I feel like there, it is vast, but it's such an incredible subject, John. It brings up a lot of passion, doesn't it? What got you into the, give us some bullet points on what got you into, you know, that we're not living in on this round planet, and that there's something wrong here, what we've been told, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of things. I mean, I remember reading, I think the first thing that kind of put me on this track was I was reading about Captain Cook's voyages, you know, in the Southern Ocean, you know, obviously the guy who allegedly discovered Australia, but, you know, he didn't really, did he? Because the Aborigines were there for thousands of years. Captain Cook, apparently on one of his, it's documented, on one of his voyages, he followed the Antarctic coast, and he sailed for 60,000 miles, and it took him, God knows, 2 years or something stupid before he actually got back to the same point again. And, you know, 60,000 miles around the Antarctic coastline just doesn't make any kind of sense at all on a globe Earth, does it? You know, but it does on a flat Earth, you know, because the flat Earth model is that the Antarctic coast is the rim which sits around the edge of the disk and stops all the oceans from spilling off allegedly. So, you know, a 60,000-mile circumference around a flat disk is plausible, whereas just around the actual continent of Antarctica on a globe Earth, it's not feasible. So there was that. There's lots of things, you know, there's the thing about, you know, you maybe know more about this than I do living there, but, you know, the airplane flights in the Southern Hemisphere, you know, the routes are so ridiculous when you look at them on a globe Earth. They're just crazy. You know, I'll give you a couple, for example, from Santiago in Chile. And this is just one of hundreds of different examples. Fly from Santiago in Chile to Wellington in New Zealand, you think, yeah, it's just a short hop across the Pacific, isn't it? Well, it's not. I mean, it's a long hop, but it, you know, it's just a straight line hop across the Pacific, isn't it? But if you look at that flight route on the globe Earth, it actually goes north from Chile, across to the east coast of America, across America to the west coast, then southwestwards down to Sydney, Australia, and then doubles back to Wellington. So, you know, that's just one of literally hundreds of examples. You know, so there's that as well. That looks like an almost straight line on a flat Earth map. So why do they do that? You know, there's lots and lots of different things. I'm just struggling now off the top of my head, right, to think of a few things.
I've done that flight like a few times.
But, you know, absolutely. I mean, the globe earthers will come up with all sorts of excuses for all different elements of, you know, flat earth, you know, possible flat earth, you know, proofs. They'll come up with all sorts of excuses, but I've never yet come across one that stands up. Another common one is the fact that, you know, the Earth's curvature calculation is something like, I can't remember it exactly because it doesn't make any sense actually, what they tell us the globe Earth calculation is. But suffice to say that over a length of 6 miles, the drop is about 6 feet. Okay, and it goes exponentially from there as the curve increases. But the thing is, there are lots and lots of photographs and eyewitness accounts of being able to see for hundreds of miles, you know, with using telescopes, obviously, and even with the naked eye in some cases. You know, for example, there's a famous picture of the Chicago skyline from across Lake Michigan, which is 40 miles away or 50 miles away, maybe. And the Chicago skyline should be something like 1,000 feet below the horizon because of the curvature calculation. So there's countless thousands of examples of that, you know, impossible viewpoints, you know, where the globe Earth is concerned, you know. So, yeah, you know, so much stuff there. I mean, I obviously wrote a whole chapter about it in my book, Falsification of Science. You know, and there's lots of stuff in there for anybody who's interested in following that up. But
Well, the interesting question, John, is with that is then where are we? Well, and how does the flat Earth look? And are we actually in space? And how would that look in space?
Well, this is it. Nobody really knows, do they? Because nobody's ever been to space.
Yeah, that's right. Where we are. So the simulation theory comes into play as well.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, for anybody who's not sure about this, the flat Earth model is a flat disk surrounded by the Antarctic coastline, which makes it like a dish with the 200-foot ice wall all around. And Antarctica does have a 200-foot ice wall. There are only two places in the entire continent, if it is a continent as such, where, you know, that wall can be breached. So, you know, it's just an absolute, it's an almost an absolute pure circle of ice walls, 150 to 200 feet high. But what lies beyond that? That's the question. You know, there's something called the Antarctic Treaty that was signed by every single country in the world in the 1950s, which prohibits anyone from going there. Apart from, there is a tourist post office at one point on Antarctica where cruise ships stop, and passengers can disembark from the cruise ship, buy postcards at the little post office, and send them home to family and friends, postmarked Antarctica. So it kind of gives the illusion that, oh, no, it's fine, you can go there. But actually, you're not allowed to go more than about 100 yards, you know, inland from there. It's all fenced off. And, you know, anybody who tries to fly over the Antarctic, there are constant patrols, you know, military patrols, planes have been turned back under threat of being shot down, ships have been turned back under threat of being attacked. There is a patrol there. There's a massive radar system set up which kind of covers the whole of the Antarctic coastline, and any ship straying a bit nearer, it's very quickly hunted down by these patrol vessels and warned, you know, get back, you're not allowed to go there. Why? What's going on? Why can't you fly over Antarctica? I mean, for some, when you think about it, some airplane routes in the Southern Hemisphere, it would actually be quicker to fly across the Antarctic rather than skirt around it, wouldn't it? But you're not allowed to do that. Why? You know, keep asking that question. Why? Why?
Any ideas, John? Any ideas? What's behind the mirror?
I mean, there's a school of thought that says that there is actually land beyond Antarctica. You know, Admiral Byrd, allegedly, you know, Richard Byrd, the American explorer in the 1940s, apparently visited there. And whether it's truth or propaganda, this who knows? But again, this is just one school of thought. He visited, he flew an expedition across the Antarctic ice and found himself in this, allegedly in this country that was, you know, full of greenery and these verdant pastures and a strange race of people that he met and who entertained him for a few days, and then he flew back home again. This is a US military admiral that says this. Whether he's just a shill and that was propaganda, I don't know. But it was, you know, what he said was, he appeared on television and said all this, and you know, it's actually still on YouTube, that. So you could argue that, you know, if it's still on YouTube, then it has to be bollocks, basically. But who knows? There's so many different schools of thought. And like you say, you know, what is reality? You know, it comes down to a fundamental question as that. What is reality? Where does Antarctica go? You know, what is there? Is it all like some kind of holographic projection? We just don't know. We just don't know. And it's possible that we never will, you know. I mean, have you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
You wonder where we, I mean, it's incredible how they're telling us that we're living on this sphere, this planet, this circular realm, this Earth, floating in space.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing, the moon landing, just the planets, Jupiter, Mars, all this stuff, the moon, everything just seems alien to me and very strange. As I said, it is an internal, like, intuition, gut feeling when you look up and you just look around you. It's just like we're living in some kind of artificial simulation to keep us asleep or it's some kind of game.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't seem real at all.
Yeah.
And maybe that's part of what it's all about, to get to make our way out of the game. I was looking at some information recently. It was very good, just talking about how we're actually avatars. We're projections of our consciousness, and we're projected into this realm, you know, and that the information and everything that we're learning gets filtered back into our real selves, which is growing spiritually, you know, all of this. You know, that's very interesting, you know, our soul selves.
Yeah.
But this world with our cities and our countries and their space, and that's the sun. I mean, you know, it's weird. We're told the sun's this burning sphere, John, and there's all this stuff going on. But if you put some, you know, if you put certain materials up to the sun and you look at it through your eyes, it's just like a white light. You know, you get that through your car as well. Through the top of the windshield, you know, sometimes you look at the sun through these cellophane and things and certain papers and things. It's just like a white light. I don't know. It's really strange as well to me. The sun seems very healing and warm and everything, but that with the moon and everything, it just doesn't seem right to me. It's very strange. You hear about older cultures, like going back through time, like tribal systems and stuff, saying that they thought there's information that the moon seemed to be anchored there, that it wasn't there at some point. It's very strange as well. It's very weird. But obviously, with our talks with you and in your work and everything, I mean, the moon landing is laughable. I can't believe that any grown adult would even believe anything about that. It's absolutely silly, and it's been debunked a million times. So they didn't go to the moon. So that's not there. They didn't go up there, and they can't get out there. We know that.
Yeah.
So now the International Space Station, and all this stuff where they're hovering. Just don't buy it, John. It's very strange to me. Isn't it a weird thing? Because you look up at the sky and you see the planes, and you go up in the plane, and you can, and when you're in the plane that starts to go very high, and you look down at the land and how it goes out of focus, and you go so high and you're like, well, where does that go? Up and up and up until you can't see. But then do you go into outer space? Like, what's up there, John? It's, as you said, with Antarctica, like what you explained there with going over the ice walls and everything, well, what's up if you keep going up? Yeah. Because we've heard this with the rockets. Where do they go?
I've got a friend of a friend who does astral projections, and, you know, and he reckons that, to use his words, that, you know, when he projects himself upwards above what we believe to be the dome, you know, which is, again, part of the flat Earth model, that, you know, there are other domes up there as far as the eye can see, and it's just, to use his words, it was like bubble wrap, he said. If you know what bubble wrap is, you know that plastic packaging that you use for part. I don't know if you call it bubble wrap in Oz, but yeah.
Same thing.
That's what you call it. Yeah, yeah.
Like kind of looking through the looking glass.
Yeah.
Like a projection.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
weird, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Where are we, John? That's the ultimate. I think it's the most fascinating question.
Certainly not what we're told, Adam. That's for sure.
That's right. Yeah, through the schools, you know, early primary school and everything, and all the books and the stars and the moon, and as I said, the Jupiter and the Mars and the planets. Yeah. That is not right. That we're not. No. That is not there. I don't. Yeah. But what do you think about people? John, if you get like powerful telescopes and you look up at the night sky and you can see these things, what are you really looking at? You know, that's an interesting thing as well.
Well, when you actually see photographs, you know, not fake ones like NASA provides us with and other such wonderful institutions. When you look at real photographs of stars and planets through telescopes, they are very, very different to what we're told. Have you seen those pictures?
Yeah.
They look more like crystals than actual spheres. Yeah. And they're all different colours as well. It's such a weird thing. I would encourage anybody to kind of look at that. There are lots of pictures out there on the internet that, you know, real pictures of stars and planets, as opposed to, as I say, the fake NASA ones. Who really knows? I mean, are we being deceived there or not? I mean, you just don't know, do you? This is the thing. So hard to distinguish truth from fiction, really.
That's right. Yeah, we were talking with researcher Wayne Bush about this, that our pineal gland is actually a crystal, that we have this in our bodies, these crystals, and this is what you're talking about as well. So it's how this is holographic and stores information and everything. So dreaming and everything, and but you know, of course, John, on the planet all around us, there are psychedelics, mushrooms, and plants and things in nature to give us these experiences and open up parts of our mind. We've talked about this on many podcasts, but that's a whole nother show, John.
We should do something on that actually sometime. That I think, you know, there's a lot of information to cover there, isn't there?
There is, and it all ties up with your work and books.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the important thing is, I think if people want to start somewhere, is we're not where we're told we are. This is not what they're saying it is. It's not. And I think, you know, that question has to begin there, and we go from there. And I think I think as well, John, that with the flat earth thing, as I said before, I think there's a lot of infiltrators and they're troublemakers, and they're coming in and they do know a lot of stuff, which makes me very suspicious that with the amount of information that some of them know, and they're getting large sections of the population who are talking like we are and interested in this. They're sucking them in, and obviously, like Alex Jones, you said, they're taking them out another door. So you don't really, but I think that, you know, you get taken this way. So I think with these kinds of podcasts, it's good because we're going our own way and we're coming to our own conclusions, and it's really interesting. But it's really interesting as a human and all of us to stand there and sort of think, this is not right. You know, we're not where we think we are. And definitely everything we've been told is wrong. So as you said, John, a very interesting concept indeed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And worth exploring always. And this is a common theme in your books, isn't it? I know that it's been part of your work as well.
Definitely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, especially falsification of science, I cover a lot of, fairly controversial stuff in there. So,
I do. That's right, John. Yeah, you do as well. And I think it's good, and we'll continue to move forward. A great show, John. It's been absolutely fantastic, yeah, as always. And yeah, I love how you're always willing to talk about all these things, and as we move forward here and break everything down. And as always, I'll put up all your links and everything in the podcast description, how people can email you for a signed copy of a physical book that you will send out to them. That's always great as well. And boy, we've got a lot more to cover on the next show, John. I've got lots of things to cover with you about all this stuff. So it's going to be great. And I encourage people to get into your books, because you really tie up all of this. And we love to keep these shows all centered around your books, and they're absolutely wonderful. And I know they're only going to get better as you move forward. Anything you want to finish on, or you're okay?
No, I think, I'll just to say thank you very much, you know, again for having me on. I really appreciate it, you know, the opportunity to chat with you and to promote my work, and obviously to all the listeners as well, you know, who keep listening to my inane ramblings. You know, I'm very grateful.
That's right. Yeah, your website's always been great. There's so much info on there. It's fantastic that others won't want to go near. And so I put up all those links as well. And it's always great to connect with you, John. That's it's always fantastic. You're a great man. I love talking to you. And I know our listeners always tell me they love the show. So it's fantastic. Right. And we'll continue on the next ones, buddy. I'll contact you and we'll organize the next one.
We'll speak again next month, mate.
All right. You take care, buddy.
You too. Bye, Adam. Thanks a lot, mate.
Okay. Thanks, John. All good. We're done.
Cheers, mate. Sorry about having to cut it short a little bit, but I just got to go out. So
you're out for the day?
Yeah, just for the afternoon, really. Yeah.
Nice.
All right, buddy.
Good stuff, buddy. I'll contact you for the next one, and have a great day. Okay. And I'll let you know when this is up. And take care, man.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, speak to you soon.
All right.
Take care.
Good work.
Bye.
Thanks, bye-bye. Man.